Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Thursday. In fact, a thirsty Thursday. I already know how this is going to go. I already know how all of this is going to go.
Well, it's a tradition.
All right. Know that I'm knowing that I'm doing this begrudgingly. It's a thirsty Thursday, so the fellows of the drive. You just going to skip the – we're not going to go through the process?
Yep. Okay. If you want to go there, 8507 Queens Boulevard.
The fellas of the drive have a live broadcast out in Tomball, on Tomball Parkway. It's the Buffalo Wild Wings at 17195 Tomball Parkway. So go out, see the fellas. Get you something to drink. Get you something to eat. Shout out to Bud Light for making that happen and Buffalo Wild Wings. And then, of course, see the fellas. There's a few things happening at the stadium, or really at the Houston Methodist Training Centers where it's happening, and their fellas are practicing. We saw earlier that that one, Jalen Reed, has been designated to return to practice. So he is out at practice. He's been seen. I believe you also have seen out at practice. Let me make sure that I get this correct because I don't want to get this wrong. Jamal Hill, okay. Trent Brown, which is the real interesting
one.
That's
a big one, yeah.
Making sure that your tackle is there. They are all at practice, and I think that that brings up an interesting thing, although I should give you some of the guys that have not been seen at practice today, at least during the media portion of things. No Kamari Lassiter, no Titus Howard out there, no Jawar Jordan out there as well, who's been dealing with that high ankle sprain. And so there's a couple of things that I think are worth discussing within this. Jalen Reed being back, Kayvon Wallace being back on the practice squad. I think it's clear who the team views higher, because Jalen Reed had the first opportunity to start and it was an injury that took him out of a starting position. However, this is his first day back to practice, which means he'll get 3 days of practice. One of those being Saturday, which is the Friday, which is kind of a walkthrough before a Monday night wild card game. Is Jalen Reed starting? Is he getting a majority of the snaps? Are they splitting time between him and Kayvon Wallace? What do you think here?
Well, I think we both feel that they probably have more confidence in Jalen Reed, so I'm going to say yes. And the other thing about Jalen Reed, I mentioned it's not the best thing in the world, but he has played in 7 games. You'd rather it be 17 or whatever.
So there's not a rust versus or a rust conversation in your mind. There's not a hot hand conversation in your mind. You're just like, we trust the young man. Now that he's back healthy, throw him out there.
I think it's a trust conversation. You just hit it. And really, how much confidence is there? Wallace has had his moments. Let's not cover that up. But he's also had some relatively significant mistakes.
Big coverage busts, and those are the types of things that in the playoffs can be really damning.
And they eat away at D'Amico Ryans.
that probably matters more. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, what really matters more is making sure that you don't blow your opportunity in the playoffs because it's one and done.
Yeah.
But when it comes to making the decision, you don't want to irk D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke, especially in this context. The standard is the standard is a phrase that we have heard a number of times, and you don't want that to be off. So we'll see what that looks like as we continue on. And then the interesting thing for me is Jawar Jordan not being out there. Mm-hmm. How do you want to see them handle running back? Because I think the path of least resistance is Woody Marks gets a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe Nick Chubb carries a little bit extra. How does British Brooks factor in? Does he factor in your mind?
Oh, I think he factors in. And, even though it was backups, I think he showed enough that, just in general, they have confidence in British Brooks. I don't think he's going to get more than maybe one or two touches, if any. But I think they have confidence in him, if anything, because we don't know the level of health, that either Nick Chubb nor Woody Marks has at this point. I mean, how durable are they going to be? Either way, so you got to be ready with British Brooks.
Oh, so are we maybe just looking at, all right, it's all you, Woody. Is that what's happening in your mind?
Largely Woody.
I could easily see that.
Largely
Woody. And I'm less upset about that now than I was, a handful of weeks ago, because the whole idea was to make sure that he was fresh for now.
The other interesting thing to me, I think we can safely say Jawar Jordan, I wouldn't count on anything.
for this week?
I think he's out for a little bit. Yeah, it's a high ankle sprain. We all know how that plays out. The interesting thing to me is Kamari Lassiter. Maybe it's just, you know, he's back. He's going to play. I think likelihood is he does play, but he didn't last week. And was that just precautionary, or was it maybe a little more serious?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But knowing Kamari Lassiter and his doggedness, he is the type of dude where it's hard to keep him off the field. So it might mean that there's something there, but mm-hmm. I also believe that he is going to fight tooth and nail to be on that field at Acrisure Stadium come Monday.
I agree.
And so and he plays well when he's on that field. I haven't seen very much to intimate or indicate that he can't hold up. Mm-hmm. I think where it gets interesting, though, is if he is at whatever percentage of limited capacity, 70, 80, 65%. I don't know, whatever you want to limit on that.
How does it play out?
How does that impact your decision of how you play DK Metcalf?
Oh, 100%.
Right? Because the idea of DK Metcalf, we had this conversation earlier in the week, and my thought was I don't want to hamstring myself into the idea of, you know,
traveling.
Stingley travels, and then everything else moves around him, because I feel so confident in your other defensive options that on a play here or there can handle DK Metcalf well.
Yeah.
Well, if Kamari Lassiter's Kamari Lassiter but a hampered version of himself, how does that go with the foot
speed
and
all
those
things?
Maybe
that's a feel thing as the game progresses.
Why, it probably is. Yeah. I think that's the larger thing is we have all these conversations during the week, and not to lessen what we do.
The script.
Well, it's not even that. It's like they could come into the game with an idea, and then quickly you have to be able to adjust to what you're actually mm-hmm. seeing. That's what good coaching is, I imagine.
Yeah.
Is this a good take here? As we continue in the loop on Sports Radio 610, Kay Adams does a great job covering a number of leagues. As we know that she is very fascinated with Kevin Durant, but she does a good job talking about the NFL. She has this take about the Houston Texans. Do you agree?
I think the Texans have maybe the best shot of a Super Bowl run out of the 6 wildcard teams. Actually, they do. They for sure do. And here's why. Here's the two reasons. Reason number one, Nick Caserio is a dog. And he put together what he does. He put together an offensive line that completely rebuilt in the course of one offseason, okay? CJ Stroud's sack rate has been cut in half. His whole story, his like tattoo that he carried around in his eyes, get sacked a ton. I'm sack, sack, sack. He went from being the most pressured quarterback in the league last year to one of the top 10 least pressured. It completely flipped. And we haven't talked about it nearly enough. I don't know why, but here we go, Caserio. And he really rebuilt the whole O-line. If you look at this, look, Titus Howard, only constant from a year ago. The rest of these guys, brand new. He deserves credit. They deserve credit. Reason number two, when you really think about it, the defense first teams, okay, that have won the Super Bowl, and you know, there's a lot of data on that and all that. They all have one common denominator, and it is that their defense and secondary was the game changer. And it's Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. They're a nightmare for Aaron Rodgers this week. The Texans are the only team in the NFL with two guys in the top 10 in sacks. Hunter, I've told you this for years, scariest guy in the NFL, most intimidating guy. And here comes another Caserio masterclass.
Yeah, yes and no.
I kind of have a little yes and no to myself as well, but I want to hear why you have a yes and no response.
On the offensive line, she says it was completely rebuilt in an offseason. No, it wasn't. It was completely rebuilt during the season. And it was rebuilt during the season because of Caserio's shortcomings in the offseason. And we all know that. I mean, Cam Robinson was supposed to start. Ursary, you know, who knows where he was going to end up.
I think we were thinking about him being the starting right tackle, right?
Right tackle, guard, some people mentioned. Obviously Blake Fisher.
A right guard, yeah.
Shortcoming, you know, in terms of just him in general. So, yes, salute to Nick Caserio for having being light on his feet, being able to make the adjustments, and D'Amico Ryans, for that matter, and Cole Popovich. But when I first saw this video, well, you heard the audio, I kind of rolled my eyes on the whole offensive line thing. And yet the numbers don't lie. That's why I said yes and no. Part of that is the offensive scheme that C.J. Stroud is running now. But part of it is the offensive line has protected him well down the stretch. So I think I'll put it this way. It's just a little bit of a stretch to say masterclass.
He's a dog.
But she said masterclass, and he's a dog.
When was the last time you heard an executive called a dog? Like that feels like more closer to the field type designation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You could be a dog, especially I feel like the closer you are to the football.
Yeah.
Right? You are in the offensive line, you a dog.
Yeah.
Wide receiver, you know, dog.
He's a dog.
Running back, dog.
Yeah.
Quarterback, he's a dog.
Yeah.
Coaches?
Yeah.
You know, he could be a dog.
Maybe.
I don't know. You could be in the if you could be in the seats and be called a dog. That feels kind of.
I feel like the only time people say that is somebody like a Howie Roseman or something like that, where you just but taking fools.
Do we call him a dog though? Yeah,
maybe not even
when
him.
When he make like a crazy trade or something, where you be like, oh, he just got him for what?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a dog or something like that. But that's rare.
So it's I caught on to some of what you pointed out, but it was more of actually. The C.J. Stroud sack rate portion that she was talking about that actually really caught my attention here, because I think that this also becomes very interesting in this game. Now, I think being close to this, watching this team all year long, know that some of that is also a very clear intention of getting the ball out quickly, things of that nature to help C.J. Stroud out. But then it also made me think about, as I was doing research on the Steelers this week as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you realize that the Steelers are the seventh highest have the seventh highest blitz rate in the National Football League this year?
Yeah, that I did not. That's pretty dang high.
I hadn't thought about that because CJ Stroud's sack rate has been pretty good. However, if you look at his numbers against the blitz, they're not great.
Mm-hmm.
He's not taking sacks.
More recently.
Yes, more recently. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me of that, because this is since he's returned.
Yeah.
After the concussion.
Mm-hmm.
The play in the versus the blitz is not great. And so I actually went, and knowing me, I'm a sicko, I watched all of his all of his plays versus blitz. Now, some of them are designated blitz, and they're like play action boots. And I think, actually, I won't speak for you.
Mm-hmm.
In my estimation, he handles play action boots really well.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. Any disagreement there?
No.
He handles play action boots really well.
Mm-hmm.
But against the blitz, what he does, I think some of the things that he does is In breakers, especially when he can hit them.
They go heavy on that.
In breaker slants with the anticipation. And I think that often works pretty well. There's other instances, though, where, you know, when you send seven man or whatever, sometimes you'll have, when he has a free rusher, there's a good chance of that ball getting dirted. Or late in the season, remember I was making note of, one of the things that they have is if they have go routes, he'll try and stand in, maybe fade backwards, float that ball up there and give the go route an opportunity to go, go get it. And then there's also instances like the Raiders game where if that offense, if they can get the pass pro right, especially like a five-man blitz where it's a little bit easier to pick it up.
He
could stand in and diagnose where the ball is going to go. Sometimes it's going to be a little dicey as if he can get it there.
Yeah.
But if he can stand in, he can handle it. The thing that I think has worked best against him, though, blitzing-wise, is when teams blitz and then play press man behind it, especially when they can get more guys in the blitz. Because what happens is it feels like the way that the Texans have gone about trying to answer blitzes is we're gonna try and pick up our protection here. We're going to get the ball out quickly, where sometimes you've seen the ball batted down, but we're trying to get the ball out quickly.
Get the ball to a place.
And quickly.
Yeah.
We're trying to get it to slants. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get it to sit downs. We're trying to get it short where if I'm going to get my man up and press.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that separation. The Raiders tried to do this stupid thing where they blitzed, but then they had like everybody deep.
Yeah.
And CJ was like, okay, cool.
We can do that.
I'll just throw it to the slant real quick and pick up 5-7 yards.
He's better at throwing it to spots rather than to the spot as the player's running or whatever.
And so I'll be very intrigued to see if how the Steelers blitz, because the blitz has been up and down in the way that CJ has handled it. He's not been flatly bad in handling it. He absolutely has not been taking sacks very much. But also, I wouldn't say that he is lethal against the blitz, at least in this stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know that the Steelers could even execute it, but there are ways to make this uncomfortable if they are blitzing in this game.
Yeah, and, we heard from Nick Faribault earlier about, that their defense, they've actually had a lot of success with that, with the pressure. So it's going to be interesting to see. And I keep going back to their edge rushers as well.
Yeah. So I thought that was an interesting portion of this, because I think that she's right in that the sack rate is down. But I think the thing beyond that is going to be interesting to see in this game in particular. And I mean, if we start forecasting forward, are there teams that can make that a difficulty for this? Because that's the real test, is not just that the offensive line has been, good. Can they handle these particular things? Now, what I will say is they have had a lot better pass. Like, if you're watching all the blitzes, the pass protection, it is so encouraging to see this and think back to what you had last year.
Oh, God, yes. But again, a lot of that is the offensive the offensive style that you're playing now.
It is, but I think that deserves a level of credit.
Doesn't deny, what's going on. Yeah, that they're still protecting him.
You ask me, I don't know if I thought that they'd be here earlier on in the season, talk less of last year.
Right.
And so I think I want to take this moment and offer a little bit of congratulations to the organization for managing to get them here. And because they pick up a lot of pass protection circumstance. Now, there's some where you see a 7-man blitz and there's going to be a tough time picking up some of these sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be instances where you are blitzed and you're not able to handle it and it looks bad. And sometimes you got to live to fight another day.
Yeah.
That's also built into what they want. But that's going to be, I don't think it's going to be, well, it could be. It could be one of those things that is decisive in this game. But it's definitely going to be a place that I'm watching because I think if they do what we both believe they'll do, which is win, that's going to be a pressure point moving forward in these playoffs.
And the other thing that she said, she was obviously talking about Danielle Hunter and the scariest human being and the Texans defense. I mean, that ties in with how good this offensive line looks in a weird way, too, because they don't have to do a lot in terms of, moving up and down the field.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of right in what she said. And you know what? We skipped right past. She believes that they have the best chance of any wild card team.
I think they do. I think they do. You could say Buffalo, but
and that she's not saying AFC. She's also including the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh yeah,
that are a wild card team.
No,
the
Rams would be up there.
The Niners probably because that defense is rough.
Yeah.
And then the Packers are interesting. I just don't know how far.
Probably Rams,
I trust them.
Texans, and Bills would be the three most likely.
Yeah, it's crazy too because the Rams are only the wild card because they're in a crazy division where all three of them teams pretty much won,
12 plus games. Was it 13?
Yeah.
Or was it 12 plus games?
Yeah.
Yeah, it ain't even fair calling them a wild card team, man.
Yeah.
Let's hope that Kay Adams is right at the very least in that, but in the way in her assessment there, because if that's the case, we should be getting John Lopez a tattoo. You heard that right, Figgy. He promised to get a tattoo, right?
Oh,
you heard that, right? Earlier in the show, he said
if they win the Super Bowl, you got to get some type of little
tattoo. He said he was going to get a tattoo if the Texans win the Super Bowl. I heard that.
Tattoo parlors are going to thrive.
I don't know. I feel like we should check the tape. 713-572-4610.
You've been in this town a long time. Did not see
forever.
Didn't see a Super Bowl,
not
man.
Not one.
You got to get one.
He's trying to pressure him.
Yeah. I feel like.
No, really.
Text
no, really,
line.
You got to get one.
Yeah, text line. Weigh in. Did you hear John Lopez? Did you hear him promise to get a tattoo if and when the Texans win a Super Bowl? Because I thought I heard that. I want to make sure that I'm not tripping. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is that time where we hand things off to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got?
Yeah, so it's about that time of the season. Crawfish season is right around the corner.
Oh, thank God.
And we were having a discussion, not we, but some people was having a discussion about the best way to reheat crawfish. Yeah, I thought this was interesting. I want to hear what y'all think. 713-572-4610.
Yeah, I need that. Mm-hmm. I'm taking notes. Next.
Yes.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
It is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Thursday. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. It's almost that time of season where we start getting into the crawfish,
woo!
Right?
Yes,
now,
it is.
Now I have been seeing a lot of people just getting into it early.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I trust it or not.
They're small.
Frozen or just
they're small, smaller ones? Yeah, not as abundant.
Yeah, yeah. So, Lopez, you usually have a day. What is your official
Super Sunday.
Day? Super Sunday.
Super Sunday is always the first day for
Super Bowl Sunday?
That the crawfish are kind of getting bigger and they're more abundant.
So Super Bowl Sunday is the crawfish equinox?
In my mind, it's always the, okay, now we can have them.
Okay,
gotcha. Now we can
so
have
right now it's a little too early
little
for
bit,
you.
Little bit.
Okay.
So I got to wait till February?
Yeah. Well, you don't have to. I always think that they start being their best on Super Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so I ran across this Facebook post pretty much saying, how do you reheat or warm up your crawfish?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite comments from this is, leftovers, what's that? And I'm kind of with you on that, but it is a couple times where I do have some leftover crawfish.
Yeah.
And so I just want to know, how do y'all reheat them? 713-572-4610. It's a bunch of different.
Is there a bunch? Is this one on there the way we do it? And this is only, like, if you're going to a restaurant, I'm going to eat them all or just leave them, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But
like
when just leave them.
Well, you know what I mean. When we have a boil and you have a ton of crawfish, I mean, you're usually drinking beer, watching a game, chatting, whatever, eating. After, you know, everybody's pretty much done with the crawfish, we have a peeling party.
Just keep peeling.
Just keep peeling and putting all the meat in a Tupperware. And to me, that has worked fantastic because you have a big pile of, it's already peeled.
Yeah.
I mean, you're there anyway. It's already peeled. You put them in a big Tupperware and you can either reheat them, you can cook with them, you know, etouffee, whatever you want. And to me, that's been golden.
Yeah, 832 went the same way with you. They said make etouffee or batter and fry them.
Yeah. You do it anyway.
Yeah, that was actually on this list too. A couple people. This is the one I usually go with. Eat it cold. I usually just eat it cold.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that never bothered me.
Well, you can do
me,
it the
know?
Same way like I do. Put them in the Tupperware, eat them cold later.
Yeah. Somebody else, and this is another comment from that post. Coming from a pro. Lafayette, born and raised.
All right.
And I was just like, all right. I'm like, all right, you're from Louisiana, so you know more than everybody else here. He said, put a little water in the pot, probably 1 to 2 inches high.
Mm-hmm.
Add seasoning, butter, let the water get hot, boil, add crawfish, put the top on the pot, leave it until the crawfish are hot, 5 to 10 minutes, turn it off, and it's bomb.
Okay, so we were just boiling them back to life.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, I just never.
Say that like I'm about to do this.
Hey, some people said put it in the microwave for about 30 seconds.
All right.
I'm scared to do that.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
with the shell on. I would do it, obviously, with the, as I said, with peeled already.
Yeah, my wife would kill me. I'm like, well, you got this house smelling like seafood.
Oh, that too.
Oh, yeah. She don't like seafood.
She's not a seafood person.
Yeah, that's rough.
All.
I don't know why I've never had these before, but this season, I will make that happen. From the 713, crawfish enchiladas.
Oh, I've had them. They're good.
Okay. I need to fix that pronto.
Yeah, that is really
point
good.
713 or anyone else, point me to where to get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely point me to where to get them too, because I don't know if I can hold off to Super Bowl. I might have to cheat a little early.
You can get some here now almost, right? Or maybe next
week. Some places don't have. I think BB's don't officially have one right now, BB's crawfish.
Yeah.
I think they getting them next week, if I'm not. I think I seen a post saying next week they going to have some live crawfish and all that stuff. But keep sending them in. Let me know if it's a unique way that you'd like to warm up your crawfish. 713-572-4610. As I continue on the mixtape in the Luke Sports Radio system, I got a little bonus buy or sell.
Okay.
I know Lopez usually do this, but I ran across this clip from talking about Hall & Oates. You know the group Hall & Oates.
Oh, yeah.
You remember this song right here.
Baby hair.
Oh, baby.
With a woman's eye.
That one song, a lot of black people thought a black group was singing this.
Blue Eyed Soul, baby.
Yep. So, who was it? I think it was John Oates who was doing the interview. And I wonder if he's fully. I want to see if you buy this.
Okay.
What he says. So for those who don't know, they're kind of going through a legal battle or was going through a legal battle.
Mm-hmm.
And they got pretty doggone messy. And the person.
Home. It's you and me forever. Sarah
Smile. Oh, I was going to get. I don't know.
How many people named their kid Sarah in honor of this song right here?
How many people had a kid in honor of this song?
Well, non-zero.
Yeah. So here's John Oates. He was on a podcast and he was asked if he will ever share a stage with Daryl.
Oh, wow.
Will he ever share a stage again? I want to know. He's going to give you an answer. I want to know if you buying this or you selling the reason.
Did you and Daryl ever see yourself sharing a stage again?
I doubt it. No, not. I won't say I doubt it. I would say no.
What would it take?
Nothing. It's not about money. It's not about anything. I think that, you know, that ship has sailed. And if you want to go a little deeper into this, I would like people to remember Hall & Oates in its prime. I would like people to remember Daryl and myself in our prime when we were singing at our best, we were writing at our best, producing at our best. That's Hall & Oates to me. A redo of that or trying to revitalize that is impossible. And not to disparage older artists who still want to, you know, want a piece of the, you know, of the spotlight and stay in the spotlight. There comes a time when you're just not yourself anymore. You're not on your game the way you were. I'd rather have people remember the music. You know, I'd hate to go out there and play the old hits and not have them sound as vibrant and as punchy and as great as those records.
Hmm. Are you buying this, him saying this, or selling it?
I was originally going to sell because the line, there's always a number. You know, like if somebody threw out whatever million-dollar tour.
And mind you, him and his partner did have issues.
No, I'm saying, but I was thinking they could set aside their issues for the right number. It was where I was going to start. But after hearing that second part, I think he truly believes, like, nah, man, I don't want to compromise ourselves.
You said that's John Oates, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually have heard this before, and I buy it. I am a Hall & Oates fan, and I do know a lot about the breakup. I think that those are pretty irreparable differences, and I think it's also comes from the music portion of it too. It's not just like the business side of it, which definitely is some of it, but the music side of it. And yeah. I very much understand where he's coming from there on the idea that they'll never come together again. And I think he also is making a larger point there, clearly, that people should take heed of.
Yeah.
I don't want to get between nobody and their good
but
time.
Again, there's always a number.
No, but it's not just that. Because, like, I'm now out of that vein of thought.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the nostalgia that people want to go and see some of their favorite acts, and you go, oh, this is not ruined, because I don't know that you could ruin it, but this has put a little bit of a weird patina on this thing that I love. I kind of do appreciate recognizing that we're not going to do it justice, whether it's because of ill will or we just don't have the fastball
integrity
anymore
of the music.
And so we're just not going to do that. Yeah. And I do respect that to some degree. I also think he's capping to some degree trying to talk about this music when you just don't like that dude.
Yeah,
no more.
That's why I'm kind of selling that a little bit, man. It'd be one thing if they were on good terms and he said that, then I'd be like, okay, I understand that. But after the whole lawsuit and, you know, the back and forth, I'm just like, nah, man, this ain't all about me. And ain't nobody telling you, hey, go on tour and do a mega world tour or anything. This is just sharing the stage at one point.
Yeah.
That's easy. That could be one night where you just do, you know, just a quick little couple hits and all that stuff.
And there's always the possibility of reconciliation. It happens a lot.
You know? It does happen. Yeah. It does happen. It's gone a long time, and it's gotten nasty.
In this clip, he started off by saying, I don't think that will happen. Then he said, wait, scratch that. Yeah. It won't happen.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is going to happen, unfortunately.
And that clip is a few years old.
Yeah.
I know that for certain. So, he's.
I don't think it's happening, man, because he would have left the door open somehow if he thought it would happen. But, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Mixtape and the Loop, Sports Radio 610. I got to give a special, special salute and shout out to the legend, the one and only Captain Mickey.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Sports Radio 610 made a programming change with the outdoor show, and it's no longer being aired on the station. It was on from, I want to say, 4 to 6, Monday through, or Thursday through
four to 6 a.m. Well, Thursday Friday, 5 to 7 on Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I think it was actually 4 to 7
for a while.
Saturday and Sunday, because I had to work.
I was definitely here for 3 hours.
I remember the hours.
Yeah,
I had to get here an hour early.
So
I was up here 2-3 in the morning.
Yeah,
but so fortunately they made a change and all that stuff. And Captain Mickey announced it. I ain't going to read the whole thing, but he pretty much said he enjoyed his time working here for the 18 years of the show. And appreciate everybody sharing the stories together. Mm-hmm. But he said, this will not be the end of us. And yes, you all have been so much part of this as anyone, and I appreciate all the loyal listeners. Until then, good luck and good fishing.
Yeah, man.
That's what he said in the Facebook group, which is the Morning Sickos, mm-hmm. which I really like, and it's going crazy in there today. But before I want to get Lopez the floor in a minute, mm-hmm. give you the floor in a minute to kind of react to it and kind of explain what's going on after this. But in honor of the outdoor show. A lot of people don't know this. I think Reggie, you wasn't here yet.
I haven't heard it yet. I'm excited.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, so I had the honor of filling in for Captain Mickey. And I was shocked when people came to me saying, hey, need a favor from you. Captain Mickey, he's sick. His producer's sick. So we need you to fill in for the outdoor show.
The Captain Figgy show.
I looked around. I was thinking in my head,
are you talking
you
about?
Want my black ass for the show? Like, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know if the Morning Sickos.
But it was like a best of thing.
Yeah. So I had to put a lot of clips and all that stuff, voice it over and all that. So before I get to how I sounded on this, this is how Captain Mickey sound.
Oh, this is good.
Every single morning whenever he worked on the outdoor show.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jake. Our sponsors today.
We have sound kind of cool, Roofing, right?
Very oh, man.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds authoritative.
Very much. Star Tournament and.
Yeah, so that's how he starts to show off on the outdoor show. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, I don't know how I'm going to beat that.
Yeah,
I don't have the accent. So I don't know how I'm going to compete with that. So I said, you know what? Don't think too much into it. Let me just be me.
Yeah.
A lot of people always say, just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to do the same thing. Here is my version of it when I kicked off the outdoor show 4 a.m. on a Thursday, and this is how it sounded.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show.
Going good.
With Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
What's going down in H-Town, man, Figgy Fig? Holding it down on a Thursday.
A
good morning.
Big,
happy Thursday to everyone out there. Hope you guys are doing great this morning. And yes, this is not Captain Mickey.
Oh, no
Captain
kidding.
Mickey is out today. A little bit under the weather, but you got me for the next 2 hours.
Oh, man.
But don't change that channel. We got a special treat for you guys.
I call that the Captain Mixtape.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sure I knocked some people off the boat.
Oh, you know they were like, what is in there, going on? Yeah,
fell in the water, man.
What's up, H-Town?
Yeah, so I appreciate, you know, I thought I was going to get crushed in that group chat, by the way, the Morning Sickos Facebook page. And a lot of people's like, hey, it sounds pretty good, man. I really enjoyed it. So salute to Captain Mickey Lopez. How do you feel about all of this? And tell the people what's happening now.
Well, I would encourage people to go to the show this morning. The first segment of the show this morning, we talked about this more in detail. We being myself, Captain Dean Thomas, Captain Caleb McCumber, and Captain Scott Null. From the Bite Me podcast, because well, you'll hear it if you go back and listen, but something of a kind of a life comes at you fast kind of thing. Mickey, they changed the programming. The Bite Me podcast is now going to be 4 times a week, 8 hours a week, and a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Really, really excited about it. I actually called Captain Mickey yesterday, had a really good conversation. The guy's a legend. Like an
100%
legend. And I've fished with him. I've hung out with him at the fishing show. I've,
Yo, that was a classic drop right there. He didn't play that in a long time.
And had a great conversation with him. You know, he knows that this is just life, you know, happening. But at the same time, really excited, man. This morning show was good. We're going to have another one tomorrow. But we went in depth about what Mickey was, what we're going to be with the Buy Me podcast, and you're not going to find better captains than Scott, Caleb, and Dean. So we're really excited about it. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, salute to Captain Mickey. Also, this ain't the end of Captain Mickey. I think he's working on some stuff, too.
Yeah, he said he's going to do some stuff.
Yeah, so the good thing about just programming and podcasts, all that stuff, you can check out everything, man. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to go one way or the other, man. Captain Mickey, I think he's working on some things where he probably going to have his own little thing going on, too. So this ain't the end of Captain Mickey.
Actually, I told him yesterday when we were chatting, rising tide raises all boats. We know that.
Yeah. So Captain Mickey, he in good spirits. He's going to be good. I'll probably give him a call later on too, just to chop it up with him. But salute to Captain Mickey, man. Best of luck to you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Salute to Captain Mickey. All right. That is another fantastic edition of the mixtape right here on Sports Radio 610. Soon to be the Captain Mixtape, question mark? I don't know. 1:20
I don't know if Lopez is going to let me fill in for him, man.
Hey, I don't think you're going to be a guest. I'll do a segment with you. Ask about all your fishing prowess.
That means that we all got to go on a boat first so that there's stuff to talk about, right?
Not necessarily.
Oh, so he don't want to take us on a boat. That's all. 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig on social media if you see something mixtape worthy. All right, coming up next, there's actually a little bit of information. Today's an arbitration day. What's happening with the Astros and arbitration? We'll give you some of that information, and we'll get ready to send you off to the fellas of the drive next. I'm going to be very naked in my in my attempt here. Mm-hmm. I am still looking for suggestions for the crawfish enchiladas on the text line. 713-572-4610.
I think Teotihuacan has some.
Okay, very good. I told you to text in. I feel like you're not listening to instructions.
I surprised somebody in text there. You're out, make them yourself.
Oh, yeah. They're not as good.
Make them yourself.
I agree, and that's not going to happen. So where can I buy them?
Every time you talk about barbecue and steaks, somebody, make it yourself. That's the best kind.
Oh, I'll do that with a steak. The barbecue, I'll leave to the experts. But, I am just really hungry after a fantastic edition of the mixtape. Getting ready to hand things off to the fellas of the drive here in a moment who are out at the Buffalo Wild Wings out on Tomball Parkway. The address, again, I figured that was going to happen. And, of course, I can't find it.
That's it right there. I just played.
That's not
Tomball Parkway.
There. It is on Tomball Parkway, though. Yeah. So, anyways, today's a big day in arbitration, which matters for the Astros. I don't want to make it to sound like a small deal. I think it matters to a big degree, especially with the MO that they've established of wanting to ride right at that collective bargaining, or not collective bargaining, wrong sport, the competitive balance tax that happens in baseball. And we know that Jim Crane has said that he's willing to spend if the occasion arises, but that doesn't mean that you don't be...
You're not willy-nilly.
Yeah. You don't want to be like that. So there's at least four... dudes in arbitration that we've gotten settled on. And I would like you to pay attention to the way that these dollar amounts stack up, because I think that there's still some things that they need to fix and address with this team before they get to spring training. And then there's still, you got to figure out how that money stacks up with the way that you do it. Jake Meyers in arbitration, and actually not in arbitration, all of these getting done before they get to arbitration, as it's become somewhat a little bit of an MO for the Astros, just go ahead and figure out a deal so you don't have to go into that circumstance. Mm-hmm. Jake Meyers get $3.55 million this year, so $3.5 million for him. Hunter Brown, $5.7 million this year.
Ooh, bargain.
Very much a bargain for your clear-cut starting pitcher, your number one starter, and I think that you could probably use an ace designation if you really wanted to, especially with how well he pitched this past year. Notice them doing this in ascending order. Mm-hmm. Jesus Sanchez, set to make $6.8 million.
He just signed, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, he just got a one year deal, or that's the deal that he did.
That's it.
Ahead of arbitration, $6.8 million today, and then Jeremy Payne is going to be $9.5 million. I think this makes it abundantly clear. Well, they do the deal to make sure to get it done, but.
That doesn't mean that you're secure.
Jesus Sanchez feels like one that I would love to see traded, and It's weird because you do need left-handed bats so badly in this lineup. Because as of right now, who would it be? It's him and
Yordan.
But $7 million for Jesus Sanchez just does not profile properly in my mind.
I don't think it does either. The one that's interesting to me is Jake Meyers. How might that play? I think signing MIE has helped his cause because they were looking for pitching, and now you have the signing.
Oh, because I'm guessing that you're saying that Jake Meyers would have been a trade asset.
So I think that helps him.
I think they still could.
Might.
look for one more piece to give you some real power in this starting pitching, especially because if you want to be a team that matters this year, which this team always wants to, when the Astros matter, they pitch well.
Absolutely, and they get a lot of pitching, and they go through a lot of pitching. I mean, I know they've completely made over the athletic training and a lot of the medical staff, but traditionally they've gone through a lot of pitching. We learned that last year the hard way. Remember, I mentioned this last week, their over-under total this year, I say meager because it's meager compared to what they were in recent years, it's 84.5, their over-under win total.
That is interesting. I also have some numbers from Vegas as well, as I just received an email that contains the odds for each division in MLB. Obviously, we will skip past all the other ones to go directly to the AL West. Who do you think has the best odds to win the AL West?
To me, this sounds like a trick question because I think it should easily be the Mariners.
Is that what you're going to go with?
I'm going to go with the Mariners.
You'd be correct.
Okay.
The 5-4 odds. Who do you think has the second best odds to win the AL West?
Astros.
And it's 8-5 odds.
Okay.
Plus 125 to one.
So a little
plus
more confidence there in the division.
That is the thing that's encouraging to me is that that Vegas is looking at it. And I felt like this once I saw the Imai acquisition. You go, oh, this looks a lot more tenable than it previously had. And maybe this is just the hopium that exists this time of year no matter what.
Respect.
But, yes, I think that you slot him in. You give your rotation looks a lot more tenable, and I think that you are within the workability of getting the roster together so that you can go out and compete. Especially, and this is the big if the adjustments that you have made to your return to play process and your medical process sticks, and and you don't have the same issues that it feels like you've had. Well, you definitely had last year, the year before, but you've had in smaller doses in the last few years. If you can keep your guys healthy and have them playing baseball, I think you have an opportunity to do something.
I totally agree. And then, like I said, they go through a lot of pitching, and hopefully that's going to change with their medical staff. Just out of curiosity, how does the
rest of it stack?
A's third?
Rangers third.
Rangers
somehow,
third.
13-4.
Wow.
The Athletics, 16-1 odds to win the division, and the Angels, 28-1. Now, I do wonder how much – I don't know how this would work, because in my head I go, that is – to win the division, is there something that within them that says maybe they are a wild card team, but they just can't win
but
the division?
The wild card team would be the 1 second you pick.
That's what I'd imagine. A little bit less belief in the Athletics in a way that does not feel like it tracks with their play last year.
I was wondering if just their uncertainty in terms of where they're playing and everything else might come into play. And their tradition.